Here's our State Barbering and Cosmetology Board meeting back to order because we are at 10:32 a.m. with the time certain says 10:30 a.m. So I'm going to just move us along to step 7A. There are none. Step 7B, I'm going to defer to Rosa to tell us about the 8 cases that we have on our agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Step 2B, the negotiation options. Number 1 will be coming in. 2 will be coming in. 3 is here. 4 is unresolved. 5 is unresolved. Number 6 appeared.
He's here. Oh, is here. Okay.
Number 7 unresolved. And number 8 unresolved.
All right. Let me get some of you can breathe. You should have used the stickies. All right. So it is now 10:33 a.m. on February 17th, 2023. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's review of cases scheduled for an informal interview pursuant to ARS 32573. My name is Brandy Flores, a public member of the board, and the other board members will now introduce themselves and indicate whether they are a public member or professional member. Let's go ahead and start with Marshall.
Marshall Knox, Vice Chair.
And are you public or professional member?
Professional.
Thank you. Nick Goodman?
Nick Goodman, public member.
Great. I'm your first
name. Tracy Mayfield, cosmetologist, professional.
Thank you. And then on the phone, we have Gary Begley.
Gary Begley, professional member.
And then we have Trista Guzman Glover.
Trista Guzman Glover, public member.
And I think that's all the board members we have on the phone today. Also present is the board's executive director, Frank McGauley, and the board's attorney, Mona Baskin, from the Arizona Attorney General's office. When your case is called, please unmute your phone by pressing star 6. Don't need to do that if you're here. Please be aware that we've read all the materials submitted. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask that those speaking not take time repeating information that the board already has. You and your legal counsel, if you have it with you, collectively will be given time to address the board equal to the time it took to present the investigative report, or 5 minutes, whichever is greater. The board has a civility policy, and we request that all participants conduct themselves in a professional manner. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, we'll move into deliberations. While all the parties are free to stay and listen to our deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request that you not interrupt the process. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and swear in board staff. Staff, will you please, with the following compliance team members, please stand and raise your right hand. Rosa Rodriguez, Helen Bordelon, Lisa Chavez, Keegan McConnell, and Alexandra Hill. Hello. Do you swear that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do, Rosa Rodriguez.
I do, Alexandra Hill.
I do, Helen Bordelon.
I do, Lisa Chavez.
I do, Keegan McConnell.
Thank you so much. You may have a seat. All right, so we've got staff in, we've got board members here. Before we begin, I want everyone to know that this proceeding is being recorded. Accordingly, it is important that everyone speaks loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. To ensure we have an accurate record, please say your name each time before speaking, most especially if you're on the phone. That's really what that's for, I would say. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of the case and to decide the outcome. The licensees have received a notice informing them of the matters to be discussed today. The process of the informal interview and the possible actions that the board may take. So with that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and start with case number 1, which is 97563, Jessica Gulen, number P42207974, provisional licensee. Jessica, if you are here today, please unmute your phone using star 6 when it is time after we've heard from the investigator or come. Do they come up now to this?
Yeah, they're here.
It's here. I don't see anybody here. Okay, so staff, will you please give us... Actually, wait, I need to see. So Jessica, Are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We're going to start with the investigator. Okay. Lisa, will you give us a brief summary of the case?
Good morning, Madam Chairwoman and members of the board. My name is Lisa Chavez. On October 4th, 2022, investigator Kathy and I conducted an investigation of skin nutrition in Lake Havasu. The complaint alleges the establishment is unlicensed. Investigator Kathy and I spoke with owner Flavia Jaysha at the Fine Salon and Spa. Flavia had told both of us that Skin Nutrition Salon and its owner, Jessica Ian, rents a room, from her and is separate from Divine Salon and Spa. The respondent was not there during the investigation visit. Flavia called her and then I spoke with her. I explained the complaint to the respondent. The respondent said she didn't understand why the board was there talking to her. She has a provisional license that should cover her. Then I explained to the respondent that her provisional license expired on September 8, 2022, and that any regulated services are to be performed by a board licensee and in a board licensed establishment. The respondent said she didn't know but wanted to come into compliance as soon as she could. I gave the respondent information about filing for a trade name with the Secretary of State along the application on the board's website and the information she may need if she's an LLC. During the investigation visit, there was a small setup providing aesthetic services inside Skin Nutrition. From October 10th through the 14th, emails between respondent and I with respondent having questions about the affidavit, trade name filing, passing her board to be licensed and working in the salon instead of having her own salon. As of February 14th, after further review of the board's database, the respondent is not licensed. Both her theory and practical exams are pending. There are no salon applications under the respondent's name. That's my conclusion.
Thank you so much.
Madam Chair, I apologize for interrupting. We will need to swear in the respondent before she starts as well.
Thank you so much for that. Okay, so now that we have that information, Jessica, is it Gulind?
Gulind, but it's okay. Gulind. Everybody, yeah, so good.
Sorry, I will make sure to get that right. Ms. Gulind, we do need to swear you in. So
that's fine. Great.
So my question for you is, do you promise or swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Great. So do you want to tell us what happened in this case?
I graduated school December and went into the salon. So I did have my provisional license at the time of the complaint. When Lisa and her partner came to the salon, I was unaware that my provisional license was expired, so that is 100% on my fault. And then Flavia, which was or is the owner of the salon, and myself were unaware that anybody who was operating under their own name in a salon, that you had to have a license inside of a license to do that. So that again is on us because neither one of us knew that that was even a thing to begin with. That's bottom line. That's what happened.
So you don't have a licensed salon and you don't have an active license either. Is that correct?
Correct, because I failed my theory and I've yet to take my theory or my practical again for the case of I just do not have time to drive 3.5 hours to go take an exam right now. So I obviously did not go back into the salon. I have not worked since. So it's kind of a low ball, I guess, until I get 100% licensed. But I did get my Secretary of State taken care of and my LLC information. So that's already done. I just need to reschedule my test.
My understanding is that we can take your examination electronically, so you don't need to drive anywhere for it.
Yeah, the closest testing place is in Phoenix, and I'm in Havasu, so it's three and a half hours away.
There should be one in Flagstaff as well.
That's another 3 hours away, unfortunately.
Okay. So
I just don't have time right now. I have, it's a little over 3 hours to Flagstaff. Vegas is two and a half hours. Mom of three. So I'm always on the go with after school activities and weekend games. So I just don't have time right now.
I understand. I want to make sure you know all the options out there.
Right. Thank you.
Are you, Tracy Mayfield here. Are you currently working?
No.
With hair. Okay. And
no, I don't do hair. I was doing lashes and facials and full body waxing. I didn't do hair and nails.
Okay. And you say you have your business license now?
No, I did not pass my theory when I took my theory, and I've yet to retest.
And then you said something about an LLC?
I have my LLC and my Secretary of State.
And so that, like, she had not applied for a business license, though, or for the...
She has not applied for an establishment.
No, the business license, yeah. I have the business license LLC.
But she's not licensed by this board.
Okay.
For an establishment.
Correct. Yeah, right.
So what are we
after the board, after the investigation came to the salon, like, you know, I was not in the salon. I had to leave, so...
So if she's not a licensee and doesn't have an establishment, is she not a, do we have jurisdiction in any way?
Madam Chair, are you directing a question to our legal counsel?
Yes, that is. At this time, you do not have jurisdiction. And this is a very unique situation. I mean, and as far as bringing the case forward, of course, it was brought forward with the hope that, you know, she did have a license. But as it stands procedurally, the board does not have the jurisdiction, and it is the unique situation of the provisional license, which has expired. So I think the board would have an option to continue it until we have a completed application that meets all the requirements for an individual license, and then can consider that at that time regarding potential discipline upon granting the application. Or you can offer a consent agreement at this time in the event that the board does find discipline, and then that would be contingent upon her application.
Or dismissal is an option as well.
Well, you really
since we don't really have jurisdiction.
Well, you don't really have jurisdiction, so it would have to be a continue. Taking dismissing a matter would be an actual action by the board. So it would be probably be best to be brought back for a completed application, and hopefully she successfully passes the test.
So what if, just for clarity for future cases, she never decides, she just, licensee never decides to get licensed? Do we just continue this in perpetuity?
Then it would be continued.
Right.
And it would be, jump in, Ms. Rodriguez, and correct me, but it would be associated with her application.
No, there were never an application.
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but what application are you talking about? I'm just unfamiliar with the application. Are you talking about the salon, having an application to work into a salon?
We're discussing if you apply for a personal license or, establishment license would also be needed to have your own salon. But we're discussing how to handle a case in which we don't have jurisdiction because you are not a licensee and you're not working in an establishment that we license. And so we are looking at different ways with our legal counsel that we would adjudicate a case like this under these circumstances. So if you could just please hold
that
while we continue.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Sure. Right. Because it can't be a dismissal on the merits because you don't have jurisdiction to to consider the merits. So you could continue the matter until an application is
But I'm asking, what if they never apply?
Then
it just continued every meeting in perpetuity.
No, it wouldn't be brought back to the board. No, it wouldn't be brought back to the board. And I would turn to Ms. Rodriguez and Mr. McGauley as far as the actual procedure on how the board would logistically deal with a situation like this, because I'm sure this is not the first time it has come up.
Because we don't have jurisdiction and we're not sure if she's even going to apply, I would say we can dismiss.
No, you can't dismiss on the merits because you don't have jurisdiction to.
Madam Chair, Assistant Attorney General Baskin, would it be a situation where, and I'm just trying to get to what the options are at this point, is would it be a situation where it would be administratively closed?
Is that a thing? I didn't even, administratively closed is just.
Yes, is that?
Yes, it is, yes.
So you could, I think what I'm hearing is the board would take no action, that option would mean the board takes no action today, and we would administratively close this case, though we would keep the information should the respondent apply for a license in the future.
So we can't in any way have this licensee not have this follow a future application because we don't have jurisdiction to take action.
Correct.
So we can just, okay. Okay, so then do we have to continue it then? We have to take that action as a minimum, I mean? I know there are other options, but we don't just move on. We have to take a motion to continue.
Right.
Yeah, because okay. It's agendized, I think you would,
right. Okay.
Your motion, I believe what I'm hearing, the motion would be something along the lines of a board member, the board ultimately voting to direct staff to administratively close the case. I think it's that.
Right. And then in effect, it would just be continued until at which time the respondent, hopefully is able to successfully pass the test and file an application with the board, and then it would be brought back. But yes, okay.
I just didn't want to have to continue this case every month future date and not take care of it. So in any case, does the board member have any questions for either staff or the licensee?
Is there
or potential future licensee?
So Tracy Mayfield here. Is there anything to do with her provisional that is expired and done, or are we talking about?
Madam Chair, Member Mayfield, the provisional licenses are every provisional license in the state of Arizona is now expired.
Oh,
we do not have there should not be any active provisional licenses at this time. They all expired in early January.
Okay.
Skip the deliberation portion of the skip script. Sorry, everybody. Okay, so then I guess, does anyone have a motion? I'll make one if there are no other motions. Okay, so in case number 97563, I would make a motion to continue the case and direct staff to administratively close the case since we do not have jurisdiction in the matter over this licensee.
Goodman, second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No, motion passes unanimously. Okay, Jessica, so right now you are not a licensed esthetician or cosmetologist. You're not in a salon that is in a licensed establishment. And so we have just gone ahead and continued the case. If you do apply and are licensed, personally licensed to be any one of the cosmetology, esthetician, hair, whatever route you choose, then this case is on file and would be discussed at that time, is my understanding. But for now, there is no action.
Okay, so I just need to reschedule my test, correct? And then once I reschedule that, contact you guys and let you know if I pass or what?
I'm gonna direct that question to staff.
Yeah, Madam Chair, respondent, you'll can find instructions on application process on our webpage. There you will find step-by-step instructions. And the first step in that is taking and passing your exams. And then there will be an application process for you at that time.
Right. The only thing that I'm, I guess I'm not understanding what the application is, because
so you have So I would recommend that you go to the webpage and review the information that's available on the webpage. We need to conclude this because this is an administrative hearing at this time. So providing you support on application would not be appropriate.
And okay, if you just go to the website and you're not in the process is unfamiliar, you can call or email staff to get clarification. We just can't necessarily start giving advice for application process in an administrative hearing. So there is information on the website, and there's also ability to call the staff of the board separately to get clarification on any questions that are unique to you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
All right, you have a great weekend.
You too, thank you. So I disregard all this paperwork then at this time, correct?
You can. There's no action to be taken, but know that the board does still have that on file.
Sure. Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Bye. All right. So that includes the case number 97563. Moving on to case number 97786, Carol Estrada, licensee number 11101269. I will start with, is Carol present or on the phone? Carol Estrada, star 6 to unmute. Okay, hearing that there is no licensee.
There's a script for that.
I forgot. Okay, so we move that forward to a formal hearing at this time. It's the next step when a licensee does not appear. Okay, so we do not hear the licensee present today, so I move that case number 97786 move to a formal hearing, or in the alternative, accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as a resolution of the case.
Goodman, seconds.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes unanimously. Case number 97786 is moved forward to a formal hearing. Moving on to case number 3, number 33835, King Cuts Barbershop, number BBE 002365, Luis Enrique Gonzalez, number BAR 001-0678, owner. If you could join us up here. Please feel free to have a seat. Actually, before you have a seat, why don't you go ahead and raise your right hand. I'll swear you in. Do you swear to tell the truth and the whole truth? Excellent. Thank you. You can have a seat. And then we have our investigator who we've already sworn in. So tell us about this case.
Okay, so good morning, Madam Chairwoman and members of the board. My name is Keegan McConnell. And on July 21st, 2022, I conducted an inspection of King Cups Barbershop. I spoke with owner Luis Enrique Gonzalez over the phone because he was out sick that day. The sanitation health was good when I was in the routine inspection. For the license issues, I verified the shop's name and license on the board's database and determined that it expired on 6/30/2021. But then renewed after inspection with a date of 6/30/2023. During the routine inspection, I found a student barber operating the shop full operating station. Licensee told me he was a graduated student awaiting an exam the next day. And then to this day, the student barber has not yet taken an exam. And then I provided the licensee with an inspection report and educated them before the meeting. If you have any questions, I will be happy to address them.
Thank you. Board members, any questions for investigator? Okay. Then moving along, Luis, do you want to share with us your perspective on this case?
Yeah. Well, first, nice to meet you. I'm sorry, we're going to do a half COVID that day. So I couldn't be there in person, so we have to do it over the phone. So there was three different things, right? In the case. Is that correct?
There was the student barber and then the establishment license. And then there was the manager on duty at the time. He had a last license posted, but we did some investigating on that. And then he actually renewed it, but just didn't receive the mail. He had his old license, but it wasn't lapsed. It was just old license. That's completely.
So as far as that came, I actually have a question on how that works. When you have, do they not send out anymore, in the mail, your new license?
Madam Chair, members of the board, at that time, the licenses were in fact being mailed.
Okay.
So that part was taken care of. The student at that time was given a few days of, I wanted to see how he worked for that week because he was about to test at the end of the week. I wanted to see how he did in hopes that on that Friday at the end of the week he would pass the test and then I was able to hire him. He did not pass the test, so he's no longer with me. But as far as that, that's about it.
And then the last establishment license, but it is now.
Yes.
So it was expired for 21 days. Over a year. Over a year.
I had opened the shop on November 1st, 2021. That, I thought it was a yearly, was it a license? I didn't know that it expired every, it expired in 6 months after I opened the shop. So that was just me being unaware. But right after I was informed, we screened it.
Does it say the expiration date on the license? I was just curious how that, what that looks like. I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Does board members have any questions for the licensee? Any thoughts?
Well, he's already, as a shop owner, he should, even though I get the student's going to take the test, students shouldn't be working in a barber shop unlicensed, as you know. So you already, kind of admitted to that. So
yeah.
The other two things, it looks like he took care of already as far as the licensing and the establishment license and the other barber, the manager's license. So at this point, which he wasn't correctional. So establishment license was expired and he did have a student barber working. The student's barber's name?
I have the name on my work cell phone. I just didn't put it on there. But,
but he's not a licensed barber at this time.
No, it wasn't a licensed barber. So.
No, but even now. Yeah.
Yeah, he still didn't go get it. So you couldn't even hit him as a,
And he was. At this point, the unlicensed barber was taking guests or was taking clients?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. I gave him a few days, and during that time, I have actually come down with COVID, so I wasn't able to be there. The thing that he told me was, hey, I'm going to test on Friday. Can I come, work with you? And at the time, I'm like, well, you're going to test on Friday. So I made the mistake of agreeing to it. And I was like, yeah, sure. That way, when you pass your test on Friday, I can, you can officially start with us, the next, the following week. But when I came, he didn't pass it. And then after that, I had told him, I can't keep you until come back when you pass your test.
So question for you, staff, is there is no apprenticeship program for barbering.
Madam Chair, members of the board, yes, in fact, there is an apprenticeship program through DES. It is not, I want to be clear that it is not a barber or cosmetology administered program, but there is an apprenticeship program at DES for barber licenses. Or
so we know that is one of those situations?
No, it's not.
Okay.
There was no one there.
It was by himself.
So to clarify, this student barber that ended up working a few days, it sounds like, without you being there or someone else with the license being there, hasn't worked at, or been in your establishment other than as a customer since?
No, after that, we have to tell him that you can't come back.
Okay. Yeah, and that's been followed from then. Okay.
Well, first, we have to, if there's no more questions, we can enter the deliberation portion. Unless there are other questions for the licensee or investigator. Okay, so hearing none, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. Based on the allegations stated in the notice of informal interview, the board is now going to discuss the case, deliberate, and decide what type of action to take, either disciplinary or non-disciplinary. Please do not interrupt the board's decision and deliberation. So I did not do that for the last case, so correct me now. now we can discuss and deliberate. From my understanding, it sounds like we know these things occurred. Mm-hmm. If there's a motion for findings of fact or conclusions of law or anything like that, I welcome those. Anyone on the phone?
I would move that we accept the finding of facts and conclusions of law.
I second it. Marshall Knox.
That was Guzman Glover.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of adopting what we've heard as findings of facts and conclusions of law from the investigative report, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, motion passes unanimously. So what that means is that this happened. Okay, and so now we decide on what disciplinary action to take is the next step. So I know one of the consent agreement that was initially offered that brought the licensee to the board today was the $500 civil penalty. We can revisit that. A board member can make a new motion. We could have letters of concern. It's, you know the full scope of options available to the board. So I welcome any motion.
I have a question about if there's any history, previous history.
No previous history.
No previous history, according to Rosa. So operating a clean and licensed establishment.
For 6 months.
Is that right? You said it was
3 years.
3 years.
3 years is the history that we look at.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we impose the $500 civil penalty to the case number 33835 in the amount of $500.
I second that.
And Madam Chairperson and Mr. Knox, would that be to offer a consent agreement for the $500?
The consent agreement, yes. For $500.
Thank you.
Yes, sorry.
And if not signed, it would move to formal hearing.
This is Goodman with a question for legal. We already offered a consent, so we're offering another consent?
Right, and the reason, that's a very good question. Thank you, Madam Chairperson, Mr. Goodman. The reason why is that in an informal proceeding, this board's disciplinary options that the board can unilaterally offer or order are very limited, and it does not include a civil penalty. So we have to go back to giving the individual time to appear, hearing the board's discussion, we reoffer it. And in the case of Barber's, if it's not signed, then we would go forward to a formal hearing before the Office of Administrative Hearings, because there is not the motion to deem provision for Barber's as there is for cosmetologists. So.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Think of the we have a motion. So we have a motion for the same consent agreement with a civil penalty of $500. And we also have a second for that motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, so the motion passes unanimously. So the board agreed that this happened. The board agreed that the civil penalty was accurate according to board parameters. So the $500 fine with the consent agreement, within the consent agreement that you'll receive, is what the board is still offering based on the unlicensed establishment and the unlicensed person working. So I think that the expiration dates are on the license, so make sure to check that. And if you do want to have apprentices, I believe that there is a program operated through DES that you can explore to have barbering apprentices okay in your salon. But I do believe they need to be managed by someone at the time. Any questions or thoughts? Okay, I appreciate you coming before us to share your information, and I hope you have a nice week.
My first time here, I really wanted to.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so we have concluded case number 333835. Moving on to case number 433820, James Barbershop, number BBE000563, Elizabeth Nahara, number BAR002002863. Is anyone from James Barbershop or Elizabeth Nahara present? If you are on the phone, star 6 to unmute. Hearing nothing, does that go to formal interviews? Is that the next step?
Formal hearing.
Yeah. Formal hearing, okay. So because there is no one present today in this case, I move case number 33820 to a formal hearing, or in the alternative, the licensee can accept the signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as resolution of the case. Any seconds, Sam?
Goodman seconds.
All right, so we've got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes unanimously. This concludes case number 4. Case number 5, Arizona 33840, Arizona Barbers, number BBE000304, Frederick Butler, number BAR001283. Star 6 to unmute. Anyone from Arizona Barbers or Frederick Butler, star 6 to unmute. Okay, hearing nothing, I move that case number 33840 move to a formal hearing, or in the alternative, accept a signed consent agreement previously offered by the board as a resolution of the case.
Goodman seconds.
All right, we got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, motion passes unanimously. This concludes case number 33840.